It's interesting that the song that we just finished singing, when the rollers call up yonder and it says, I'll be there. Well, the question is, will you be there? I've been out of the Air Force for more than 20 years. And in my 20 years of being there, working on aircraft, using tech orders, one of the things that I remember in those tech orders is there were certain symbols, or certain words. You had warnings, you had cautions, and you had words such as danger, and all of those things mean something or meant something to the person that was doing the job. The Bible is also full of warnings and full of cautions. And the thing is, we must pay heed to all of those warnings and cautions, because if we do not, we will pay the consequence. Now, I ask a question to people: do you believe in God? And of course, everybody says, yes, I believe in God. And I ask, do you believe in the Bible? And everybody says, yes, I believe in the Bible. But yet and still, there's millions of people that are meeting today who are violating the words of God. But they say they believe in the Bible. For example, today the whole world is celebrating a day that is not even mentioned in the Bible. And they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason they do that or believe that is because the Bible tells them. But yet, there are passages in the Bible which tell people what to do and how to live. They don't follow it. It's the same Bible, it's the same words of God, but yet and still, they pick and choose. Now, during Christ's ministry, he gave many warnings. And we want to look at a few of them, which is in Matthew chapter 7. Now, many people know what's in the Bible. And you ask yourself the question, do they ignorantly not heed the warnings that the Bible gives? Because it makes no sense not to listen to what God says and do it and be saved. For example, the scripture that was read for us, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. In Mark 16, verses 15, starting. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now the thing is, God could have stopped right there. But he didn't. He puts a little warning. He says, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So, you must believe. But what are we going to believe? Well, we want to look at some things that you must believe. And I want you to remember this, because I'm telling myself this constantly. And when you get the opportunity to teach people, please stress this point to them. If you fail to heed the warnings of Jesus, you will be lost eternally. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible don't pull no punches. It says if you don't believe it, you don't do it, you will be lost eternally. And Jesus gives us the warnings. There's a passage which all of us know. It's one that I use constantly. And tell yourselves this. Tell people this. The way to heaven is through a straight gate and narrow way. No other way will you get to heaven except this straight gate and this narrow way. Now, for example, I used to think a long time ago that, you know, many people are going to be lost. It is a shame. And I would think, oh, I have to do something about this. But you know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 13, he tells us something that we need to really pay attention to, and we can get some good sleep, but we still have a responsibility. He says here, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. God is telling us not everybody's going to heaven. It's a possibility not everybody in this room is going to heaven. Why? Because we may choose to take the broad way. And not in New York either. We may take the way that seems right to us and not the way God says. You know, I did a look on this straight. And basically what it says, we can understand what straight is. That's something I can no longer walk anymore, is a straight line. I walk sort of crooked now. But anyway, it's straight, it's narrow, and it goes this way and that way. But that road to destruction is broad and wide, and let's say up here is that Broadway, and I can move all over and do anything I want. But that leads to destruction. But the straight and narrow way leads to life. And we have to want to go. I did an illustration one time. There was a sliding door behind us. And if God said, the only way to heaven is going to be this wide, if we're larger than that, and we want to go to heaven, we're going to figure out how to get there. That means losing weight. That means cutting something out or whatever. But we, if we really believe, we want to go to heaven. Let us remember, two gates. Two gates in which God tells us that we can choose. Which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to tell people about? Is it the straight or the wide? Now, we can't do both. We can't go through the straight gate and the broad gate because God said that's impossible. And we need to tell people. Now, for example, I heard on the news this morning that Tim Tebow is going to be preaching at a congregation. And they said it's going to be a multitude of people. But do you think Mr. Tebow is going to teach all the will of God? Or is he going to teach what he has learned and what many people want to hear? This day and other days, many people flock to the church. But come the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, they're going fishing. They're going somewhere. I've been asked, what is your church going to do on this particular day? And I said, we're going to do the same thing we did last Sunday, and the last Sunday, and the last Sunday. We're going to worship God. People are looking for entertainment. They're on the Broadway. Remember, Jesus declared to us that we are to enter in at the straight gate. And then he tells us why. See, that's the good thing about God. He tells us not to do something. He tells us the consequence, and he tells us the why it's going to happen. Let us not be afraid to tell people when we get the opportunity to talk to them that many people will be lost. That's God's word. Many people. It doesn't have to be, but it's a choice that people will make for themselves. And then he says, a few will be saved eternally. Now, here's something that you can do if you get an opportunity to talk to somebody. You can use that passage, Matthew 7, about many and few. And you can set the example up like this. Tell them the year that you was born, whatever that may be, up to this particular time, 2012. And say, for example, at that time that you were born, it was only 100 people. And tell them that out of that 100 people, only 10% were going to be saved. And then you come up to where you are today. I'm 65. Some of you are close. You do the math. I don't do math. But I know it's a large number that will be lost versus saved. So if we look back at this world when God sent his son and was teaching the words of what to do, and each year we get more and more and more people, that is a large number of people, and only a few are going to be saved. Why? Because they choose to. They choose to do that. Jesus tells us, he says in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God gives us warnings. He gives us the warnings. Do we pay attention? To enter into this straight or narrow gate, the sinner must believe in God totally, not half-heartedly, totally. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You must believe that God is real. The words that he says are real. And you must do them. Now, the song that we just sang, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright, and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other side, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Only those that goes through that straight gate will be there. On the bright and glorious morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, the straight gate, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their homes beyond the sky, the straight gate. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. To get through that straight gate, you got a responsibility. You were saved to teach the word to other people. And if they believe, then they can be on that straight gate. But if you just sit back and do absolutely nothing, you won't be there. Because we have a responsibility. Each and every last one of us have a responsibility. And the great thing about the Lord's church, from the pulpit, lessons are given on subjects of the Bible that you can share with people. You don't have to think, what should I tell people? You got the Bible. But the men here provide lessons in which you can share with other people. The internet is full of the Church of Christ, sound people, that they put their lessons on, and they give examples that you can share with others. You don't have to think of it. All you got to do is jot down things in which you want to tell people. Because people do not read the Bible. They read you. They read you. How you as a Christian behave. And if you behave in the wrong way, they're going to read that. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember, John said to the Jews, unless you believe that I am he, you should die in your sins. People must believe in the Son of God. Now, there's different religions out there that do not believe in God. Do not believe in the Son of God. And it's not our way to just hammer it over their head. If we get that opportunity, we show them what the Bible says. And if they don't listen to the Bible, that's their fault. For example, John 20 and verse 30, it said this. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We all know that's John 3:16. Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we know that is when Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch and he taught him Jesus. And it came to this point that he asked the question and Philip told him, you must believe with all your heart. And the man replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, we must tell people how to get to heaven, but we need to have Bible to convince them. For example, you know, when we say a sinner, everybody said, well, we're all sinners. And yes, the Bible does reference that. But the sinner that God tries to get through, that what we say, the alien sinner sometimes, is the person or person who missed the mark, who do not follow the commandments of God. Those are the ones that we all were at one time. But what happened is that when we heard the message, something clicked. Something made us want to believe what we were hearing. And when we heard these words, which told us that we had to repent, which told us that we have to do certain things, we believed it and we did it. Jesus says this in Luke 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin shall be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Forgiveness of sins proclaimed in his name, Jesus' name. That's where it is. We have to show people the Bible says this. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. And you know, if we show people the Bible and they do not pay attention, we don't get angry. Because they're doing that against God, not against us. And you know, I had that problem for a while. I was upset when somebody fell away. I felt it was against me. It's not against me. It's against God. What I should do is try to continue to encourage them to obey the gospel. Don't pull any punches. And let them know, as long as you're in this state, you will lose. Acts 17:30. The time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. There's not a choice. If you want to be pleasing to God, if you want that straight gate, you must repent. As we talked, I believe it was Wendy, what is repent? You turn away from the world in this particular case, because there's God and there is the world. You turn away from the things of the world and you turn to what God teaches. We must teach people, must teach ourselves, that we must confess Christ with our mouth. You know, I've not understood this. The passages which I'm going to read is what many people want to stand on instead of the other passages in the Bible. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Many people want to stand on that alone. That's all they want to stand on. All I got to do is believe. But what about all the other passages in the Bible that tells us something else to do? Does God say, you only need this and not this? We need it all. It all has to be combined. If we go to the book of Acts and the conversion, you will see in some cases all of those things put together. So you just can't use one and not the other. The sinner must be baptized for the remission of their sins. Again, remember what Peter said there at Pentecost. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 22 and verse 16, and now why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Question for you. If every last one of us here only listened to Romans 10, could you honestly say we are saved? Can you honestly say, all I did was believe? See, these other passages must work together. If you believe, that means you believe all the words that God is telling you. And when he says to be baptized and you will be saved, we want the same thing for us. You remember when Jesus came to John and he says, you need to baptize me. And John said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, you must to fulfill all righteousness. Some people want to use that and say, that is the reason why I am being baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. No, you need to be baptized to have your sins washed away. Jesus had no sins. But that was a prerequisite that God gave unto Jesus only. Galatians 3 and 26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when each one of us came out of the water, whether it was this, a river, or whatever, we were supposed to have put on Christ and the mind of Christ. You know, we all have baggage. In them suitcases is some good things. But sometimes in those suitcases is some very nasty things. When we come to Christ, when we came to Christ, we are a new creature. The mindset now to be Christ. What he says is what we got to do, not what we want. Because, you know, God has told us in many places that when you come to me, you must do what I said. Because, you remember he said this, my ways is the same as yours. Whatever you want to do, that's fine by me. Now, if I stuck on that, I'd be a false prophet, wouldn't I? But no, he said, your ways is not my ways. Mine is higher than yours. Don't even think to come up here. Just do what you're told. That's simple. That's how I look at the Bible. When I see what it says there, I don't say, well, I don't think he really meant that. Here's what I think he meant. Now, yes, we do have some opinions on things. But when he tells us to do something, we better do it. So if a sinner and us is not willing to do the things that God has said, and that's only a few of them, then he or she is not willing to enter the straight gate. See? when God gives a message, he says, this is the way to travel. Now, for example, this building has two ways to get out of this auditorium. One, you will have problems getting out. The other one, you can get out, but it has to be in an orderly fashion. Because if everybody up here at the same time tried to go through that little door, you ain't gonna make it. God tells us to enter, to go through. And if we're not willing to do that, then we're willing to accept the consequences that will come. If there's a fire here, and you tell people in an orderly fashion, get out, and let's say these two guys sitting up front, everybody else is gone, you says, come on. No, I don't want to go. Come on, it's on fire. No, I'll take my chances. And this building goes down in smoke. What do you think their chances of survival would be? They'd be dead. It's the same thing if we want to go to heaven. The sinner, when we repent, when we are baptized, we are forgiven of our sins at that time. But we're told that from that moment on, we have to live faithfully. We have been washed in the blood of Christ by grace through faith. So, what warnings do we want to tell people? That you can do what you want. Everything is fine. You know, it's almost like what comes to mind, it's a ripcord on a parachute. And when, if you've ever been around people who pack the chutes, they tell you, don't pull the ripcord. Now, the ripcord should only be pulled when you're way up there and you're coming down, and now you want to make sure it works. So now, for some reason, you're way up there and you're coming down without the aid of an aircraft, and gravity has taken hold, and the ripcord is there, and you say, no, I don't think I want to pull it because they told me not to pull it. What do you think is going to happen? Aircraft, especially fighters. In those little cockpits, there's these little seats, and there's down at the bottom that when the aircraft lands, pins are put in, which says, it's a screamer, says, warning. Don't touch these handles. And there's been many cases of people touch the handles. And what do you think happened? It initiates a circuitry, which initiates a booster, and it goes up. And if you're not in it the way you're supposed to, you will die. So God is telling us the straight gate is the way we are to go. Remember, Jesus teaches that the Lord adds to the church. It belongs to God. In Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord adds to their number day by day those who are being saved. That's what it's all about. And when we have the opportunity, as we say, talk to our other religious individuals, when they start saying things that they shouldn't say, we should quietly pull them aside and say, now this is what the Bible says. Because people say, and I'm sure they've said, what church do you belong to? And how do you answer? What answer do you give? Is it the same one that everybody gives, or are you a little bit different? And are you willing to explain why you're different? Because everybody thinks a church is a church is a church. There's only one church that God is going to accept at the end. And the interesting thing about that is, in Revelations, you remember, it showed us that there is a book. If your name is not in that book, that meant you do not travel at straight and narrow gate. I hope you got something from this lesson. Because if you want heaven to be yours, you must travel that straight and narrow gate. There's things that we have to do while we are Christian. And if you fail to do that, you will pay the consequence. If you got nothing from this lesson other than remember, your soul hangs in the balance if you take the broad way.